Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. It's great to be here today. Today we'll be talking about conscious compassion awareness, and we'll be looking at, in this segment, what it means to say yes to life, and we'll be taking your call. So stay tuned here, and we'll be back in a moment. With Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
It's great to be here.
It is.
Yes.
I have to tell you that, you know, I always like to give a weather report.
Oh, let's hear it.
Part of our show. I think that's, I don't know why. I guess because I just really enjoy the weather.
Uh-huh.
And it has been pouring rain for the last whatever. Eternity, as far as I can tell. And the sun just broke through.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's
so
a sign.
I think that's an auspicious beginning to this hour.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You're living right then.
Oh. I know about trick questions. Was that a trick question or a trick statement? Or we can talk more about living right.
Yes. That's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
And before we jump into that, I want to give out our email address, which is openair@livingcompassion.org. So if you want to contact us and send us an email, we'd love to hear from you. And we'd also love to hear from you by telephone today. And you can reach us toll-free at 888-514-2100. I also want to let our listeners know that the archives of all of our shows are available right here on the World Talk Radio website. Sherry, we had a big weekend last weekend.
We had such a big weekend.
It was great.
It was astounding, wasn't it?
It was really wonderful.
Yeah. And I know we've been telling people forever about this weekend, that it was coming up. And then we got into it, and it just kind of seemed to, well, it did that thing that happens when we're present to what's going on, which is it seemed to fly by and it seemed to last forever.
Yes.
So, yes, it was huge. It took us all day Friday to set up, as you know, where we transformed this 30,000 square foot airplane hangar into, I thought, an extraordinarily beautiful place.
Yes.
And which included two truckloads of trees and bushes that we brought in.
Yeah.
And so there it was, all decorated, and then the next day we had our speakers and our the labyrinth, and it was just a lot of stuff going on. People got to be introduced to our projects, and everybody got to meet each other, and that was fun.
That was exciting.
Then we had the gala, the gala, depending on who you are, tomato and tomato, that evening, which was moving and inspiring and all of those kinds of things in our silent auction. And then on Sunday, the walk across the bridge. And the amazing thing was on Saturday it rained, right? It was kind of a, well, I just heard in California we're 400% above our normal rainfall for this, this time of year. So it poured rain all day Saturday, and then Sunday morning, it was clear and beautiful for our walk across the bridge, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. So
for the third year in a row.
Pardon me?
For the third year in a row, we've had great weather for the bridge walk.
Yeah, so we're playing Frisbee and doing yoga and walking across the bridge and wrapping up presents that we sent to the school kids in the little village of Ikalinge, where the children come from, who come into the city to live in the house that we purchased there.
Yes.
And as I know you know, on that very day, we raised enough money to buy another house.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was just about as good as it gets, as far as I'm concerned.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Sherry, for people who are not familiar with any of this work or living compassion, which is the website. Can you give a quick overview of the big picture and the projects?
Well, of course, the best thing for them to do, so that we don't just bore everybody catatonic who's been with us for a while, the best thing to do is go to the website.
Yes.
And know that it's going to be updated very quickly as soon as people recover. It was just a tremendous amount of work. And so folks are, somebody said to me today, at the same time exhausted and exhilarated.
Yes.
So the best thing is to go to livingcompassion.org and read all about it. And the projects that we were supporting over the weekend were this radio show.
Yes.
And the peace project in Assisi, Italy.
Yes.
And then the Africa Vulnerable Children's Project, which was especially focused on for the bridge walk on Sunday.
Yeah.
And Compassion Works, which is the introspective work that we do primarily at the Zen Monastery Practice Center in Calaveras County and also all over the country.
Yeah.
With monks traveling to various places to do workshops and me traveling to do workshops and like that.
Yes. Exciting.
It's quite exciting. One of the things that was fun, particularly fun for me, is that we got to introduce the meditation pants that were made in Zambia to a lot of folks. And everywhere we go, where we're wearing them or where people see them, people are just crazy about them.
Yeah.
So we're going to be sending Jen back to Zambia sooner than we had anticipated, actually, to get that project started, to set that, get the sewing cooperative, you know, really up and running, find the sources for the material, and then work with a fellow that we've met over there who will help with the importing them back into this country. So we're thrilled about that. And also we got a pretty good start on, you know, we're going to do the launch for the Assisi Peace Center.
Yes.
What we're attempting to do is reach 5 million people around the world who will each give one unit of their local currency.
Yes.
So the campaign is called A Dollar for Peace. And, you know, it'll be a euro and a yen and a, well, maybe not a peso, but maybe several pesos. So people will make donations to the project, and when we get the equivalent of $5 million, then we will be able to not only purchase the building and revamp it and get it ready, but we'll be able to have it up and running. And what we wanted to do is create a bracelet that people will wear that says peace on it, and it's red because red is associated. There's groups of people now who wear red on Friday as a statement about peace. I don't know who they are, who started this, but these red bracelets that people will wear, and so people will send in a donation and get a red bracelet, and pretty soon we'll have people all over the world wearing these red bracelets and recognizing one another as a person of peace. So we got a good start. We need about $5,000 to buy those bracelets so that we can start the campaign and promise them to people who send their donations in. And so we got about a little over a fifth of that money. This weekend. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, lots of great things have happened, and people met one another who have organized local fundraising endeavors.
It's yeah.
where they are.
Yeah.
And so we got to talk about that and get encouragement to people who want to do something in their own hometown, but they're not really certain what they want to do, and so they got a lot of ideas. Everything from organizing yard sales to the parties. One woman did a good for you party. Invited all of her friends over, and you know, just lots of fun things that people can do to kind of keep the spirit alive and keep the project supported and enthusiasm growing. And
yes, that all sounds really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great for me to be there and, you know, see it all being put together and there for the day and the bridge walk. Just fabulous.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to do it again next year. There's no question about that. And we're already planning the kinds of things that we want to do between now and then.
Great.
I like these events where we just kind of throw a big party and people can come together and for that period of time and before and after, we hope, and in an increasing way sort of stay with a focus on what's possible.
Uh-huh.
As you mentioned.
Stay with a focus on what's possible.
Yeah, on bringing conscious, compassionate awareness to the forefront of each moment of our lives, turning our attention away. That was a big theme for the weekend. My favorite expression of the quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention.
Uh-huh.
As you know, I think you were still there at the end of the bridge walk as I was saying goodbye to everyone and thanking everyone. I said, because as you know, the quality, and a whole crowd of people recited it with me. And so that's our movement, to keep our attention focused on center, on present, on conscious, compassionate awareness and loving kindness, and moving through life in the world from that place and turning it away from all of the anger and hatred and fear that our society tends to be drawn to if there isn't a real effort to give us another focus. And we want to be part of bringing that other focus of conscious, compassionate awareness into our daily lives.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It is wonderful.
So if you're listening to this and like to join our conversation, please give us a call. You can call us toll-free at 888-514-2100. The phone lines are open here, and we'd love to hear from you.
You know, I don't think anything is going to change as long as the choices are being bombarded by media focus on fear and hatred and violence and what kind of falls under the category of negativity. If we either choose that or trying to resist that, neither one of those is a perspective that is, at least to me, particularly appealing.
Uh-huh.
And what we did this last weekend that I think does make the difference is to get together and have a good time reminding ourselves what is possible for us as human beings. And not only reminding ourselves in the sense of talking about it, but doing it, living from it, being that
uh-huh.
for an extended period of time. And it's fun. And,
uh-huh.
You know, people just want to have fun.
Yes.
So, if we can have fun being together, making a difference, creating in our lives what we want the world to be, then I think we're going to have all the enthusiasm and momentum we need to make that, to what is it, hit critical mass, to make that shift.
Uh-huh.
Get all of us on board. And,
yes. Yes. So not focusing on the fear that comes from the media and not resisting that fear and anxiety that comes from that either, but putting our attention in a different direction.
Yeah, just living the lives that we want to live.
Uh-huh.
And if that's not a better alternative for people, well, then they can, you know, people can keep choosing what's currently available to us. But I think people will perceive that it is a better alternative. It is a better way to live.
Yes.
And as more of us discover that and if more of us make that choice, then our little band grows and we... you know, one of the things that I love about the vision of the Peace Center is that it'll be a place that puts people, like-minded, like-hearted people, in touch with one another.
Yes.
So that, you know, we hear people say often, well, there's just no good news. You know, good news doesn't sell papers or good news doesn't sell television ads. And yet there are a lot of people making good news, and there are a lot of people who are really interested in good news. And so at the Peace Center, we'll have a network in place that introduces people to other people around the world who are doing fun, interesting, exciting things, who are living in possibility instead of fear and gloom and doom.
Uh-huh.
And of course, that's what we did this weekend, and that's what we are attempting to do increasingly as a group. We just want to meet more and more people who want to live from this perspective.
Yeah.
And we just hold hands, my favorite image, and turn things around.
Wow. Sherry, how does all of this relate to saying yes to life?
Well, it is saying yes to life, and it's saying yes to life in the for what is for me the most significant way. It's saying yes to life exactly as life is.
Uh-huh.
Not saying yes to life after the bad people stop being bad, and after the people I identify as the problem stop being the problem, and after this group does this thing that I think they ought to do, but saying yes to life exactly as it is right now.
Uh-huh.
And when we do that, of course, the first big thing that happens to us is that all of the energy that has gone into resistance is now available for us to be used in whatever way we would like to use it.
Uh-huh.
Because yes is energetic. No, even no for a good cause. It's not energetic.
Uh-huh.
People will think, and people tell me this all the time, that as activists, you know, you have to have all this righteous indignation. You have to be angry, that you drop on the fuel of all this anger in order to get out there and make a difference. But it doesn't work that way. If I'm drawing on anger to change the world, well, all I've done is add that much more anger to the world. It doesn't really matter what I'm angry about. The energy that I'm adding to the mix is anger. And ultimately, I don't think it's helpful. So if we come from a place of loving kindness, if we really love life as life is, and we have understanding and compassion and love for our fellow creatures, then that's what we put into the mix. And I think that that's the thing that's going to make a difference for us.
Yes, that's wonderful.
It makes a difference for us individually,
yes.
And it makes a difference for the planet.
Yes.
So my image of it is, I always go to that tug-of-war thing. I think I was talking about this last time we were talking. You know, they're the two sides, and they're just pulling back and forth, and all they're doing is using all of their life force to stay in the same place.
Yes.
So all of us who want to go in a different direction, just drop that rope and walk off and go do what it is that we want to do. So if there are hungry people and we want everybody to eat, then we can feed those hungry people. And if there are people who don't have shelter and we think everybody should have shelter, then we can work at providing shelter. And again, as we connect this network of people, what we begin to realize is, you know, there are a lot of folks working on all these things.
Yes.
And what we can do then is all work together. So what you're doing, I support. And what he's doing, I support. And what she's doing, I support. And the, you know, the momentum begins to build. Lynn Twist, who I happen to adore, and I know, I don't know adore, but I know you have a great deal of fondness and respect for, talks to us about not looking at the world from a place of lack.
Yeah.
You know, so all of these people who are wanting to make a difference tend to get into a mindset of there are finite resources. So we kind of have to be in competition with one another to get our share of these limited resources. And that's just not true, as Lynn helps us to see. She's very eloquent and persuasive in this, in helping people see this perspective. Our resources are unlimited. And the more we realize that, and the more we realize that what everybody is doing benefits us all, the more resources come to us. And as we pool our resources and we see that the pool is growing and growing and growing and growing, then the potential is unlimited.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're at the end of our first segment here, and we'll be back to take your calls in just a moment. Coming up in our next segment on Open Air, we'll be talking more about conscious compassion and awareness and taking your calls. So stay tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Phone lines are open here. If you want to give us a call, call us toll-free at 888-514-2100, and we'd love to hear from you. Sherry, I was thinking about what you said before the break there about there being enough in the world. And it sort of goes along for me with, you know, a mindset of, you know, something wrong and not enough. Mm-hmm. Can really overwhelm us from the media.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
You know, and we're not alone. There are a lot of wonderful people doing wonderful work.
Yes.
And sometimes we don't hear as much about that.
It's often difficult for people to hear about that. One really needs to make an effort to get that kind of information.
Yes.
I mentioned this at one point on the show about the magazine Hope, and I go around, I talk to a lot of people, and I mention that magazine. I rarely run into anybody who's ever heard of it.
Wow!
And it's too bad because I think it's just one of the most exciting, inspiring publications going, and. It certainly doesn't get the kind of attention that something that is, more sensational would get.
Uh-huh.
Not sensational. It's hopeful. It's encouraging and it's inspiring, but it plugs into a different part of us than the one that's going to tell you everything that's wrong and. All of the awful things that have happened around the world this week and who's doing this terrible thing.
Yes.
And that's, of course, you know, for those of us interested in awareness practice, learning to want to plug into that other part of us is a whole lot of what practice is about.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Being energized by... center, being inspired by and wanting to live from the heart.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, having the courage to let go of our addiction to something wrong and not enough. Letting go of the idea of needing to constantly be in a conversation of loss and lack and deprivation in order to be the center of the universe.
Uh-huh.
Finding the willingness and courage to consider being happy.
Yes.
Being happy with what is, because of course that's the only way to be happy.
Uh-huh.
If we're doing what we're conditioned by society to do, which is to wait until things are the way we want them to be happy, then of course it's never going to happen to us.
Yes. Yes. Now, Sherry, the phone lines are ringing here.
Pardon me?
The phone lines are ringing here.
Oh, excellent. I had an intuitive sense that someone was trying to get a hold of us.
Wonderful. I'd like to welcome here on Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio.
Hey there.
Hi.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hi there, Sherry. So I've been listening to you talk, and one of the things that you... we're just talking about resonated with me, and it was about anger.
Uh-huh.
And specifically, I've been doing a lot of work in the past few months for the upcoming election.
Mm-hmm.
And
a quick trip for most people to anger.
Yeah, well, it's actually been, it's been great for my practice because I've noticed a couple of things about it. One is it's very, very easy to slip right into anger so quickly that you don't even see the steps that you take to get there.
Yes.
And the thing that I think is most noticeable to me is when I start doing this work, I notice that one of the first thoughts, it's a feeling of well-being because I feel like I'm doing something good.
Uh-huh.
And the thought that comes into my head is I'm doing the right thing.
Uh-huh. Now, this is when you go out to do election work.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. And so this is the right person thing to do.
And as soon as I think that, as soon as I think I'm doing the right thing, instantly, that means other people are doing the wrong thing.
It's that teeter-totter, isn't it? Somebody's got to be over on the other side, or it's just not going to work.
Exactly. I mean, to a certain part of my brain, it doesn't make sense that I could be doing the right thing and no one else could be doing the wrong thing.
Uh-huh.
That just doesn't make sense.
Right.
But somebody's got to be doing the wrong thing.
Yes.
And if I focus a lot of it started innocently enough with me just thinking I'm feeling good because I'm doing the right thing.
Uh-huh.
But as soon as that thought enters my head, I go right instantly 100 miles an hour down a path where I end up feeling a tremendous amount of energy in my body and a lot of anger towards those people, those nameless people, who are doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And it's been very interesting for me to notice all of this. And it actually makes doing the work, well, I was about to say it makes it difficult. It really doesn't make it difficult. I really enjoy doing the work. But it creates a sort of a situation where there's sort of a lot of angry energy involved, mm-hmm. where it's probably, I couldn't really honestly say I'm feeling a lot of loving compassion while I'm doing this.
Yeah, well, and it goes in a lot of directions, I project.
Yeah.
So there you are going out there working for this important cause.
Right.
So there are all of those people who aren't working for this important cause.
Right.
There are all those people out there who don't even know that this is an important cause.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are all of those people who are also working really hard for this important cause, but they're on the other side of the issues.
Right.
So the opportunity for people to be wrong is just huge.
Staggering.
Yeah. In fact, we can very quickly get to everybody who isn't doing it exactly the way I am and who doesn't agree with me is the enemy.
That is very true, and it's sort of a multiplier effect, because when you get a bunch of people who are doing this stuff in the same room, it creates it's exactly what you just said, except like you can just think of it exponentially.
Yeah.
You know, it's a strange thing how that happens, but it happens.
And it's very short. It's a very quick trip from good people doing good work to people who are pretty scary.
That's so true.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because the thoughts I have in my head of those nameless people who are doing the wrong thing, I have a bunch, you know, there's a bunch of adjectives that I use to describe them.
Mm-hmm.
dogmatic is one of them. And I step back sometimes and I look at what I'm doing and what the people around me are doing, and the same adjectives could apply.
Yes. Isn't that sobering?
It's totally so. I mean, it almost sucks all the joy out of it, almost.
Right.
Because I still think I'm doing the right thing, so there's still that joy there.
Well, and for me, the piece of it that is even more helpful than that you are taking a stand for something you think is important, which is a good thing for a human being to do, right?
Right.
To to be engaged. And it does. It's politics, that's great, or it's gardening, or it's sweeping your porch, or washing your dishes, or whatever it is that you're doing that feels like participation and contribution.
Right.
And this also puts you smack up against these kinds of issues that you're looking at.
Yes.
So what does it mean to be the wrong person doing the wrong thing? How does a person get to be dogmatic?
That's an interesting question. And then the other question is, which I guess is probably maybe the same question phrased a little bit differently, which is, well, I guess I have a bunch of ideas in my head about what the right thing is. If those thoughts were different, then I would be on the other side thinking the exact same thing that I'm thinking right now.
Yes.
Which is, it almost makes me dizzy thinking that,
yes.
So I don't think about it too often.
Yes. You know, as a Buddhist, one of the ways that fascinates me is simply to say, so you're male, clearly from the sound of your voice
I'm male,
and name, and so if you were to look at the world and think, now how would I feel about these things if I were female?
Right.
What would this issue look like if I were female? What would it look like if I, from myself, if I were a young male in Africa?
Right.
Well, what would the world look like if I were, and to realize how self-serving our opinions are.
They really, really are, but it takes, well, actually, there's another thought that says, God, it takes so much energy to step far enough back from my own opinions to be centered.
Yes, yes. Well, actually, getting to center is okay. It's just shocking, actually, to me how close those opinions are.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just, sometimes it feels like a fine line. There you are in center, and then in a split second, you're out there in opinion and defending yourself.
And only because, and like I was saying, what has been so remarkable to me is it starts so innocently.
Yes.
Just by thinking, I'm doing the right thing.
Yes. That's the bowling pin approach.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there you are, just placed right there. It's a kingpin, so pleased and happy.
Right.
And then here comes this thing directly at you.
Yes. I've been really amazed at how apparent these things are when it comes to politics.
Yeah.
It's this great way of seeing a lot of stuff that's going on in my own head played out externally.
Yes.
In that way, I love politics.
Yes. Well, and again, that Eastern approach of, you know, this is one little perspective. Here we are in time and space, and this is the one little perspective I have.
Right.
And there are all of those other perspectives throughout time and space. To cling to this one is as if it were real and true is such a strange notion.
It is strange. And it's so strange how normal it seems.
Yes.
Unbelievably normal.
Yes. And in fact, this whole conversation for most of this society would be so strange that you would be considered foolish for even listening to it.
Well, I would certainly talk to you about this, Sherry and Michael, but I would never bring this up among my fellow campaign workers.
Yes. Parents or
right.
Yes.
They think I was insane.
Yes, because it is insane. It is so outside this construct that so many people call reality and struggle so hard with, because there are let's count this country, how many million people in this country who would say that we share a reality and then spend every waking moment bumping up against the fact that there's no such thing.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Thanks for calling us, Scott. It's an exciting topic, politics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Heating up, isn't it, day by day here?
Yes, yes.
And now, is next week the election?
Yes, it is next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. So we'll be talking to one another right in the middle of the whole event.
Yes. Great. We're at the end of our segment here. We're going to take a break. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio, and we'll be back to take your calls in just a moment. Free to give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. It's great to be here today. We've been talking about politics and everything that comes up around that. It's a pretty charged topic, huh, Sherry?
It is. Somebody was telling me over the weekend about a friend who has a very serious spiritual practice, apparently. I think teaches mindfulness practice, in fact, and listens to talk radio, you know, like this talk radio, but you know, the one where people kind of get to ranting and raving about politics.
Yes.
Just to see how long he can listen before he starts to spin out and go crazy.
Wow.
It's charged.
Yes, yes. If you'd like to join our conversation today, give us a call. The phone lines are open here. The number is toll-free, 888-514-2100. We'd love to hear from you, whatever you want to talk about.
Now, for the record, of course, I would suggest to him that it might be just as interesting a practice to attempt to stay focused in the present and see what takes us off, rather than to decide to focus on something extremely difficult, as if that's more real than the moment.
So the encouragement is to focus on what's going on in the present, whatever that happens to be.
Whatever that happens to be.
And see how we get taken away from that.
Yeah, yeah. Rather than pick out something that... and make a contest out of it?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's just a thought.
Yes. And it's interesting you mentioned making a contest out of it, because I've heard you say that really buys into the conditioning when we're making a contest out of it.
Yes. Well, and it kind of goes back to what Scott was talking about. You know, I'm doing this thing, and that makes me a good person. This is a good person thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can listen to this and not react, then that's proof of my spiritual evolution. And, of course, one could wonder, how do we know that?
So are you suggesting that whatever comes up in us, we can consider, how do I know that? Or how do I know that that's true?
Oh, yes. Every thought that we attach to, every emotion that we believe is real.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, everything. To look at each moment of life as an opportunity to see the limitations that our conditioning has in place that's framing a particular moment in the way it's being framed.
Uh-huh.
What else is there? So one of the games that we've played with over the years is you're walking around in life, and the question that it's not an intellectual question. It's not necessarily happening in your head. It's kind of at a certain point of doing it. It's more centered in the cells in your body. And the question is, where's the joy?
Uh-huh. So tell me if I'm following you here. We're going along doing something in our lives, and we get to a place where we wonder, where's the joy in what we're doing?
Yes, and it can be a moment-by-moment questioning.
Uh-huh.
That can be the orientation. You know, as we're walking around in life, we have an orientation. We just usually don't stop and consider that.
Yes.
It's what we think, what we're conditioned to believe is, I'm just experiencing life as it is.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not experiencing life as it is. I'm experiencing myself as I am.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not actually experiencing myself as I am. I'm experiencing a piece of conditioning in place at a certain point in time.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So to begin to notice that there is that orientation. Now, where is the joy simply points at conditioned mind is not joyful. Right? Conditioned mind is trying to figure out always what's wrong and what is there not enough of and how come I didn't get more of whatever it is that I've identified as being lacking.
Yes.
So then when I'm identified in conditioned mind, where's the joy? Because life is joyful. If we, you know, just looking at the rain today, it's easy for me to project that rain was joyful. I mean, it was all out.
Uh-huh.
Okay, when I look at creatures, when I look at children, when I look at the clouds in the sky, you know, it's all out. It's just life animating form.
Uh-huh.
Then when we look at conditioned humans, that spark is often not as readily visible. Okay, so we look at a crowd of especially adult humans.
Yeah.
The energy is just, well, you're right there, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
I am.
If I go to a preschool, say, or someplace where a bunch of little kids are gathered together and I look at the energy, and then I go to the faculty room, I look at the energy, it's often different.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then if I go to the office where the administration of this is going on, it's, you know, the energy is different. Then perhaps if we're looking at the people who are in charge of coming up with the money to make ends meet, the energy. So as we get more and more into a conditioned belief system about life, as we move farther away from just life living,
uh-huh.
The energy changes, and usually it's dampened.
Uh-huh.
The energy is depressed. It's
uh-huh.
So what happened to the joy that is life? If we want to use that word to describe life, you know, we could also call it enthusiasm or excitement or energy or whatever a person projects onto to life. Just being itself.
Yes. So the practice is to become aware of the colored glasses that we're putting on as we look at the world.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Am I seeing the world, or am I seeing my own conditioned mind and thinking
uh-huh.
that I'm seeing the world, thinking that I'm seeing life?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yes. And initially, it can be challenging to know what's what.
Ooh, absolutely.
Even after a while, it can be tough to tell what's what.
Yes.
In my experience.
Because we don't know where we're getting the information.
Yes.
So if I'm in a situation and the the feeling that I'm getting is that this is too hard. This is, or this is overwhelming, or this is confusing, or I don't like this. It might not necessarily be the case that there's a voice actually talking to me saying that. There's just a feeling. So I don't know where I'm getting that information. It takes us a long time to even notice that we're getting information.
That's
how it is. It's just true. I'm just not having a good time. I just don't like this. It's not fun.
Yes.
And so then I think, well, how do I know that? What's the difference? You know, an hour ago I was having a nice time, or yesterday, or last week, or 6 months ago, or 5 years ago, or whenever it is that I have to go back to my last good time. You know, I was having a good time.
Yes.
Now, what's the difference between now and then?
Yes.
Where's the joy?
Uh-huh.
I used to be joyful.
Uh-huh.
Where is it?
Yes. Getting clear about how that happens.
Mm-hmm. And where am I looking to get information about?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sherry, this is very exciting.
Yes. Awareness is quite thrilling.
Yes. And next week we'll be talking about it even more.
Yes, and I hope we'll have even more people joining us.
That would be really great.
It would, because this is World Talk Radio.
There we go.
And you and I, with an emphasis on me, are not the only ones who get to talk.
Yes. We'd love to hear from everybody. Give us a call next week. That phone number is 888-514-2100. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. It's been great to be here today. If you want to email us when we're not on the air, send an email to openair@livingcompassion.org, and you can listen to archives of all the shows right here at World Talk Radio. Thank you, Sherry.
Talk to you next week.
All right.
Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Good night.